Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Covetousness is like a disease today. The desire for wealth and beautiful things, the longing after status, the consuming desire for that car or that truck, the intense longing not just for the boat, but for a bigger, better boat. Not being content unless we have all the toys associated with modern success. These are the things that fill our thoughts and drive us day to day. Very few people in the church recognize that this is all covered by the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet," and that all these desires are breaking that same commandment. It is to be expected in the world around us. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life are the things that the world at large lives for. However, it is not at all acceptable in the life of someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus. The true follower has made Jesus to be their gold and choice silver. He is their treasure. So the work of personal revival is to get all these things under control until we no longer covet them or seek after them, but rather seek after the Lord until we find Him. Stay with us as we explore what God really means when He says, "Thou shalt not covet." Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio.
See the light on the water, dancing patterns.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We are doing a study on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It is a close look at historical Christianity, particularly in the light of the Reformation and the Puritans. Right now, we are going through the Ten Commandments, and we are on the 10th Commandment. If you have missed the previous lessons, you can do a search for Skies Revival Radio and our webpage will come up and you will see the previous lessons archived on that site. Or, better yet, pick up a copy of the book through Amazon. You can get it very inexpensively. Or you can get a free PDF download from our website, theskies.org. Having the book makes it handy to reference various chapters and to remember all the different quotes from the Bible that we have gone over. And I think you'll really enjoy the cartoons that are in it as well. I know that my little granddaughter really likes them. Again, the name of the book is Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. We're going on to chapter 19 today, again about the 10th commandment, Thou shalt not covet. We're going to examine God's word to the church. Though there are many sins plaguing the church today, perhaps the most rampant of all is the breach of this commandment concerning covetousness. It has infected the church like a cancer, and very few are untouched by its influence. And there's a reason for that, and that is we are all too ready and willing to be enticed by worldly cravings and the promise that God will fulfill all the worldly desires of our heart, whether they are godly or not. So we listen eagerly to anyone and to everyone who would promise us riches, status, our dreams fulfilled, and personal fulfillment. Of course, that is only if we give to their particular ministry. Don't forget that part. What we see in the Bible, however, stands in bold contrast to the claims of worldly wealth. In fact, Jesus warns us that covetousness is a great snare to our souls, something to be on constant guard against. It is the enemy of all true progress in a godly direction, and by falling into covetousness, many have been derailed, many have gone off the track, and many who are in leadership have misled God's precious sheep. Let us consider an interesting example found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. This heading is called, Cattle? What cattle? At the time that this book is covering, God had just established Israel's first king at their request, Saul. Through the prophet Samuel, God had anointed Saul to be ruler over all the tribes. His first commission as king was to bring God's just punishment on the Amalekites who practiced vile pagan sacrifices, including burning their little infants alive, and had persecuted the Israelites on their journey from Egypt. He was strictly instructed by God not to touch any of the spoil. None was to be taken because it was defiled in the sight of God. And Saul bravely went about the Lord's business and did all that was asked of him, that is, to a point. While he was in the midst of the city, he saw the choice spoils that lay about him on all sides, and his heart was drawn to them. And he was neither able to destroy them nor to leave them behind because his heart desired after them. But Saul spared the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and was not willing to destroy them utterly. But everything that was despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. That's 1 Samuel 15:9. And the result was that he took the good things, the good spoil with him. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me. The prophet then goes to Saul to confront him about his misdeeds. Saul is flushed with his victory and joyously tells the prophet how he has accomplished God's work. Then Samuel asks a very pointed question, saying, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul's answer serves as a model for everyone who will follow in his steps. He immediately shifts gears and explains to Samuel that he has brought the animals to sacrifice to the Lord. He puts the best possible face on what he has done, all the while trying desperately to escape the burning eyes of the man of God. Samuel will not be put off and says, the Lord sent you on a mission. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but instead rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul argues more about the proposed godly use of the spoils, but Samuel concludes with these words, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. That's 1 Samuel 15. He then said God's spirit and the kingdom would be removed from him and given to a better man. This speaks to the church loudly today. This story has many frightful consequences to us in the Western church, for many of our leaders have followed Saul's leadership rather than King David's, who was the godly king who came after him. Beginning on a mission to serve God, they are enticed by the spoils and fall upon them. Spoils have never been easier to fall upon or harder to avoid than today. A single, quote, prophetic word proclaiming God's blessing on those who give to their ministry can yield thousands or millions of dollars to those leaders who might have initially been sincere. But as covetousness runs rampant in their hearts, they rush headlong into the error of Balaam, who prophesied for pay. That's 2 Peter 2:15. The next step is to justify it as Saul did. He said that the riches were to be used for God's work. How familiar does that sound? No expense is spared for lavish worldly edifices. No perks are too shameful for them. The money heaped upon them by the unsuspecting is considered their due, and the spoils are used as a sign that God is blessing them. Foolish preachers, but their shame is not yet finished, for the next thing is to make their followers the same as they are. So the enticement of greed and avarice and worldly riches and the fulfillment of all their heart's desires is stock in trade for their sermons. It seems like anything goes as long as you put the name of God on it. His holy name becomes the passport to the land of all corruption. teaching that God's word can be used to obtain all your covetous desires, it's no wonder that the churches are filled to overflowing. Meanwhile, a short distance away is a tiny church where the minister faithfully represents Jesus' teaching. And what makes his church so small? Jesus taught his followers to live a life of self-denial. He instructed them that true life cannot be found in any earthly things, that the greatest and only joy can only be obtained by casting your own desires away to serve him and others. No wonder he has so few people attending. How could that ever compete with the new gospel where God's will is that he would be the source of every earthly thing you ever desired? It is not hard to imagine which church Jesus would be comfortable attending. Unfortunately, this greed-based, comfortable Western gospel is no longer contained to the West, but has gained great ground all over the world. Listen to what the Bible has to say. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Or Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 13:22 says, and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We sure don't hear many of these verses quoted anymore today, do we? With just these few passages, we can see much of what is taught in the name of Jesus is far from Jesus' own teaching. And this should actually make us afraid. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is in direct reference to worldly wealth, for the next lines are, for what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's Matthew 16:24-26. Jesus teaches us that we must have a single eye in following him. What he means by that is that we must have a single focus. Our eyes must be directly on him and must not stray to the left or the right. If they do, we may be immediately drawn to some alluring distraction that will threaten our soul by distracting us from the path of life. Again, we can see how pertinent the story of Saul is in 1 Samuel. He was about the work of God, his eyes were drawn to something of the flesh, and his heart was caught by it, and then he left off of pleasing God. I love to think about Jesus setting his face like flint for Jerusalem. Nothing was going to distract him from accomplishing his Father's will. And he had to be determined because we can be sure that in his own human flesh, he did not desire to do the thing that was before him. His flesh recoiled at the thought of being nailed to a cross, the same as ours would. Now we must also follow in our beloved Master's footsteps and set our faces like flint for the new Jerusalem. We must be doggedly determined to obey him by keeping our eyes off of those things that would pollute our souls with covetousness. This is not easy to do in a society that's whole economic and spiritual foundation lies in enticing people to obtain worldly goods by every means possible. From morning till night, we are bombarded with advertisements which sole purpose is to stimulate covetousness in us. For it is imperative that we remember Jesus' admonition, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6:21. What good words these are for us today. This is the straight and narrow path. This is the narrow gate that leads to life, to radiant life. Picking up our cross, leaving the world behind. If there's one thing that we need to remember when it comes to personal revival, it's this. Get out of the world and get the world out of us. We want to have a heart that is only for Jesus, a heart whose treasure is in heaven. We are not living for today. We're not trying to build a great life on this earth. We are looking forward to a heavenly kingdom and eternity of joy because we obeyed the Lord. So let us keep these things clearly in mind as we navigate through the treacherous tar pits of this present life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please guide us safely to our desired haven. We want to be with you. We want to escape all these snares. Please keep our feet to the path. Keep our eyes fixed straight on you. Lead us into your glorious kingdom and preserve us from evil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to getting together again next week. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
he saw a fearful sight. The enemy had gathered and surrounded in the night. Well, he gathered up the singers, said to sing with all their might. They praised the Lord with gladness, put the enemy to flight. Rise up and sing in the morning, courageous in the vale. Rise up and sing in the morning, his mercies never fail. So take a tip from David, call upon the Lord in prayer. It's Jesus to the rescue, your burdens he will bear. Rise up and sing in the morning.